This podcast is brought to you by the Specialty Produce Network.
Welcome to Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. We are so glad you're here to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families. So sit back, relax, connect, and enjoy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Conscious Kids, Center for Conscious Kids, Conscious Living Podcast. I'm here at Specialty Produce. And I'm here with a super duper special guest, Allie Tarantino of Specialty Produce. And she has a program that is amazing and that really defines conscious living in multitudes of depths and amazement. And I really want to share and introduce her. Welcome, Allie. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be on your show.
I am excited you're here. I'm so excited. Can you tell us a little bit about the Waste Not program? What does that mean?
So Waste Not San Diego is a program that we've been doing for almost a year. We started last August.
Wow. Congratulations. Yep. This is almost your first year.
Almost a year. And here's the most amazing part. I just looked at the total poundage that we've recovered in under a year, and we are over 36,000 pounds right now.
36 pounds of what would we consider wasted food?
36,000 pounds of what otherwise would have gone into the trash and therefore into the landfill and therefore, you know, all the other, you know, bad things for our environment. People could be eating this food, and now we're diverting it from the restaurants. We're diverting it from our own warehouse and finding a home for it.
Wow. Well, let's talk about that a little bit. But can I get an idea of what 36,000 pounds? I mean, so a container on a ship, right? If you had a container, right, a shipping ship, or you tell me a size, but what does 36,000 pounds of food look like?
That's a really good question. I mean, and visualizing this really is what kind of drives it home for a lot of us. I mean, when we got this program started saying 200 pounds of food, 500 pounds of food, okay, that sounds like a lot, but what does that look like?
Right.
And the thing that changed it for a lot of us here at the warehouse was we hooked up with Qualcomm Stadium, their account of Specialty Produce, and I got a call one day, and he said, you know what? We've been throwing out most of our food, but I still have 10% of it left. They were throwing out all the food after all the football games, if you can imagine that.
No.
So we go over there, and he's like, well, just bring a semi-truck. Okay.
A semi-truck. What is a semi-truck?
Like a gigantic truck that you're used to seeing on the highway.
Yes.
One of those trucks.
No way.
So me and one of the drivers.
For one football game?
That was only 10%, and we collected 3,000 pounds of food in one day.
And that was only 10% of
that was only 10% of what they had already thrown away.
Oh, my God.
So when you think of an entire truck full of food, that is about 3,000 pounds right there. So,
wow.
And that was one account. So for something big like that, we connect them directly with the food bank. Because Specialty Produce in our program isn't really designed to pick up that large quantity of food on a regular basis. We can't always be sending out a semi. We're doing mostly a few boxes here, a few boxes there from participating restaurants. And, you know, a lot of restaurants might think, you know, I don't have food waste, but we all do big events and we all have big dinners. So conventions, you know, catering events, weddings. You know, you have all this food left over that's still perfectly good to use. It hasn't been on anyone's plate.
Right.
And usually it just gets tossed. And a lot of times it's not because chefs want to throw out food.
Right.
You know, chefs love food. They want to share that food. They're passionate about sharing that food. They don't want to throw this away.
Right.
So the only way that this program really works is it has to be easy enough to incorporate to what they're already doing.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're providing free kits for them. And that's a box, and that comes with four aluminum trays. They fill those up. They let us know what date it was made and what's inside there. We pick it up at the same time that we're dropping off their produce.
So wait a second. So you have an account with them, and they order produce from Specialty Produce.
Right.
You put it together on a truck, and you truck it over to their restaurant or hotel or other places that they're buying the food for the produce from.
Well, they're buying the produce from us.
You.
Right.
Yeah.
And so when we drop off their produce order, that's when they give us the donation to bring back. So okay. Our drivers bring it directly back to the warehouse.
So they never even, you don't go take a special trip back out to that place.
And that's why it makes sense for us. It has to be incorporated into what we're already doing to have it make sense as well. And what's great about a program like this can be extended to other produce companies. I mean, and it already does exist within other produce companies. You know, we by no means were the first company to do this.
Right.
I think we're the first ones doing it in San Diego on this scale, you know, and we want to get more restaurants signed up. So that's why, you know, it helps to talk about it here today.
Yes.
And we dispel a lot of the myths. And one of the biggest issues that we still have is people think that they're going to get sued if someone gets sick from eating their food.
I see.
But this is not a possibility.
Right.
Thanks to the Good Samaritan law, the Bill Emerson Good Samaritan Act passed in 1996, you cannot be sued if someone gets sick from donated food. And on top of that, no one's ever sued from getting sick from donated food.
Right.
So there are no liability issues. You get signed up. On top of that, you get a tax write-off for everything that you donate. So you end up saving money at the end of the day. And you're feeding San Diegans in need.
Yes. So tell me a little bit about that. Who are the recipients of these like San Diego in need? To me, that would mean like the AmVets or Ronald McDonald House.
That's one of our
partners.
At
the Children's Hospital.
Yep. So what we did was we wanted to make sure we did everything properly. So we hooked up with our health inspector, made sure that we were doing everything the way that he thought was right. And then we connected with the San Diego Food Bank.
Okay.
And they looked at our program. They made sure that everything made sense the way we were doing it, that we were following proper protocol. And then what they did to make it really easy was they connected us with nonprofits who are located close by to our warehouse. So it would be easy for them to come by daily or every other day to come pick up these donations so that it wouldn't be inconvenient for them.
Wow.
So we're working with Ronald McDonald House. We're working with Kitchens for Good. We're working with Shabak Ministries and Project
Meals on Wheels, maybe?
Not Meals on Wheels. I mean,
okay.
We're still a relatively small program.
Uh-huh.
We don't want to grow too fast.
Right.
You know, it takes a lot of in-house training of our staff, making sure we have the proper space to, you know, store all of this food. So
Between the drop-off and the pickup.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
I mean, already daily we're filling up 2 pallets of food. Regularly.
Wow.
So that's, you know, until we get more space, you know, we're still getting people signed on, but we don't want to rush into it.
Right. I get it.
So, I mean, the other myth that I think that a lot of people don't really understand is that who is hungry in San Diego?
Right.
Who is? We automatically think, oh, only homeless people are hungry. And I've been so surprised to learn that you don't really know who's hungry. It could be someone with a full-time job. It could be someone who's homeless. It could be someone who's recovering from abuse or addiction recovery. Like, people are hungry for all sorts of reasons.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can share with you about the Ronald McDonald House because I work at Rady Children's Hospital, and our families from the intensive care units and other areas in the hospital even do. They stay overnight at Ronald McDonald. The Ronald McDonald House there is an amazing facility, and they have a huge kitchen, and they allow the parents and different people that are visiting the children while they're in the hospital to cook their own meals. But a lot of times they're distraught. They're grieving. They're having lots of other issues. The last thing they want to do is cook.
Mm-hmm.
And so the volunteers at the Ronald McDonald House do interact and provide that, and providing those meals for them is just huge.
Mm-hmm.
So there are different reasons on why people are hungry or they are in need of food that needs to be donated.
Right. And what's really interesting about getting the food from the restaurants is a lot of times you think food donation, you're seeing canned, you're seeing dry goods. But now when we connect with restaurants, you're seeing all kinds of food come in. And one of the most touching stories that was shared with me not too long ago was one of our accounts, Union Kitchen and Tap, had donated shrimp and grits.
Wow.
And what happened was
I love that meal.
I know. Who doesn't like shrimp and grits?
And
I got this really nice message from one of our partners who had picked up the shrimp and grits and brought it to one of their meal times. And there was a couple there, and they were dressed in very nice clothing, and she had never seen them before, and she approached them, and they're like, oh, how did you find out about us? You know, assuming that they were volunteers.
Right.
They weren't volunteers. They were recently homeless that week. And wow. that day was their wedding anniversary. Wow. And every year for their wedding anniversary, they ate shrimp. And that night it happened to be the shrimp and grits from the restaurant.
Wow.
So, you know, that food, you know, means a lot when you're able to not just provide a meal, but really provide a meal that means something to these people and really is prepared with love and with quality ingredients.
Oh, gosh, yes.
I know that one got me all teared up. I know.
Wow, what a fabulous program. It's just amazing, the ideas and the growth and the potential. How did you really imagine this program? How did you put this together? What stimulated you through this?
Well, I had been working in the restaurant industry for over a decade, doing everything, doing catering, mostly pastries, food trucks, you name it, I did it. And one thing that I think everyone who's worked in the restaurant industry will tell you is that a lot of food gets thrown out.
Okay.
I mean, a single restaurant can generate anywhere from 25,000 to 100,000 pounds of food waste a year. We're talking about a ton of food being thrown out.
So that's just the waste. That's not even the cooking and the consumption.
That's food waste that we're talking about.
Wow.
So, you know, after seeing that enough times, you want to do something about it. So I started doing research, and one of my friends in the restaurant industry in L.A. had mentioned Chefs to End Hunger, and that's a program through L.A. Specialty. Similar name, similar company, not the same. And so they had a really amazing food recovery program. So we borrowed from that.
Food recovery program.
Food recovery program.
I love that.
Yep. So that's what we're doing. We borrowed from their model and we kind of made it our own. And, you know, we've created it to exist within our system. And that's what really makes this possible and has really made this seamlessly incorporate into what we're doing, is that our in-house information system is so efficient that we can enter these codes, add the waste not codes to their profile so that the restaurant can go on there. And all they have to do is order more boxers or tell us they have a pickup. And we can send that to our driver's iPad right away and that they know, okay, I have a pickup to bring back. And then it makes an auto-generated email when it comes back to the warehouse to send out to our partners to let them know that they have a pickup.
Food is arriving.
Yeah. It's so easy. And it has to be. These people are working how many hours a day?
Yes.
The volunteers are working how many hours in the week to make this happen? We have to make this as easy as possible to make this work.
And you get a wide variety. You don't just get macaroni and cheese and hot dogs.
No,
right?
We get everything. We get beautiful pieces of fish and meat. And, I mean, these are coming from weddings and all these events.
And so salads and gourmet
everything.
Food. And all of these people then get really a wide variety.
Right.
Food served to them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Wow.
And on top of that, so we started collecting the produce from our warehouse as well. Before this, it was going into these blue barrels and being collected by a partner of ours. He's a pig farmer.
Okay.
And so all of our quote-unquote ugly produce would go to the pigs and all the animals on his farm.
Uh-huh.
And we started looking at what was going into the blue barrels, and we're like, wait a second, some of this stuff looks perfectly fine. I mean, as you know, if it's expired, we can't sell it.
Right.
It doesn't mean it's not a good product.
Right.
So now we're rethinking. We say, okay, highest and best use. So now we're reevaluating, retraining our warehouse staff to look at this produce and go, okay, is this good for human consumption? Yes. Okay, it goes into the Waste Not program. If it's not looking as great, it still goes into the blue barrels, and he's still picking up probably 1,500 pounds of produce a week.
To feed the pigs.
To feed all of them. So the pigs are still happy. Don't worry about the pigs. Yeah.
Okay.
We're feeding people and the pigs. We're doing okay.
Well, and so I want to clear up something, because I really thought your program before had three levels of being able to reutilize or repurpose the food. And that was two human consumption. So two donations to people that were hungry or needing food in the various ways you just described. And then to the pig farmers and to the animals and livestock. But then I also thought that it was also going to composting. Can you explain a little bit about how your program's doing?
So we haven't gotten into the composting yet. I mean, what's really fabulous is that it's become so efficient and that we're training our warehouse staff really well that we're really not seeing that much food go into the trash. If it's going into the trash, it's because it looks horrible. And pigs don't want to touch it. People don't want to touch it. Nothing.
Right.
But that's such a tiny percentage of what we're seeing right now.
Really? So out of your 36,000 pounds, what would that be? 100 pounds or something?
A year? Maybe.
Or less?
Less?
So, wow.
Yeah.
So you're repurposing it really back for consumption.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, either for livestock or for humans. Wow.
Yeah.
So you don't even have to go to composting.
No, we don't. For the most part, it doesn't make sense for us to start up a composting program just yet. And we really want people to rethink food waste and ugly food and number two produce. You know, if you look at ugly, what's considered ugly produce that they can't sell from the farm, it just means that it might be a little misshapen.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that it doesn't taste as good. It doesn't mean that it's the exact same quality product. It just doesn't look like a perfect peach that we're used to seeing.
Okay.
So we have to retrain how we're looking at this food in the first place when we're cooking it and using it.
That's incredibly conscious.
Well, I mean, we love food, right? I mean, that's why we're here. We're at a beautiful produce company in San Diego in California where we have all these incredible farms that we're working with.
Right.
None of this food should be going to waste.
No, none of it.
What are we doing?
None at all. None at all. Wow, what an amazing thing. And do you have any stories that you could share with a company that shared with you about how it changed their lives? And the lives of those people who received donated food. Like you explained the couple that had just gone homeless. But tell us another story that maybe a company's experiencing that they didn't know how deeply this program impacted them.
Oh, gosh, I'm on the spot. I'm trying to think of a story. I mean, what's really nice about the partners that we work with is they constantly send me these little stories about, hey, this is what this food and this fed 200 people. I mean, I get that a lot. They're like, hey, by the way, that one donation fed 200 families.
Wow.
And when you can quantify it like that, I try to pass those stories along to the chefs because, you know, they might package it up and never see it again.
Right.
But I want them to know that.
They don't know the impact that their waste created.
Right. I mean, they're like, okay, I'm packaging this up, buy food. But it's like, no, this is really feeding hundreds of people.
Wow.
And when you think about 36,000 pounds, we're feeding thousands of people. And this is just one food recovery program. There's so many programs going on in San Diego and around the country. And this is just one part of that.
Right.
So, you know, that's why we want to build this. We want to get more people.
We sure do. We wanted to really explain this to other – because there are other possibilities. Mm-hmm. There are schools that as they develop programs too. We had just podcast a preschool that brings in all organic food, and they have chefs on campus that cook the food for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they may even have waste, and they didn't maybe know what to do. Maybe they send that healthy food, right, to a composting waste, maybe on their preschool site, but then maybe it can be reallocated to some of the livestock that they're having, or maybe even to other kids or families within the preschool that may be looking at homeless or very having extreme financial difficulty.
Absolutely. I mean, education is a huge part of this.
I see.
But there's amazing nonprofits like Project One-to-One, where they're focusing on going into elementary schools, into middle schools, not just teaching them about where their food comes from and how it grows, which sounds like a small thing, but it's not.
Right.
When we're in the day and age of processed and packaged foods, to show a kid, this is where a tomato comes from. You can grow a tomato. And guess what? It tastes great. You know, something as small as that really changes how we're thinking from a very young age and how we view food in general.
Right.
And Project One-to-One also goes in and they teach kids to look at how much trash they're generating, how much food waste they're generating, but also just how much trash. I mean, one of the projects they have them do is for an entire week, they have them save everything that they would throw out.
Wow.
And then they bring it into the class and pour it out. When you can really visualize these things.
And quantify. Yeah.
That's what really gets people to change their thinking, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
The football Qualcomm thing is amazing. I had no idea. So 10% of the food filled up a whole semi-truck.
3,000 pounds.
3,000 pounds of food.
Yeah.
That's useful.
Right. So that's
for
why
other people to consume.
A lot of times it's just making the connections, making the partnerships.
Yes.
If you go into a kitchen, like I said, they all love food. And a lot of times it's just about finding that one person, that one fiery person who's like, why are we throwing this out?
Right.
Find that person and work with them.
Yes.
And get them to get everyone else on board. You know, a lot of times you feel like you're the one crazy person in the room just being annoying and nagging everyone. But I promise you, it pays off.
It sure does. It was so amazing to experience. Now, where can people find this more education and stuff? Do you have a website?
Yes.
Awesome. Tell us about it.
So we have a website, wastenotsd.com, where you can read more about our program. Right now it is specifically geared towards restaurants and accounts with specialty produce.
Okay.
We do have it set up so that you can come shop here. You do not have to have an account.
Okay.
And you can bring your canned and dry goods, and we will collect those for you and distribute it to our nonprofit partners.
Wow.
And then part of what we're also doing right now to get the word out and get more visibility for food waste is we are hosting our very first event with specialty produce. We're really excited. It is called Wasted Sustainable Cooking and Mixology Competition.
Ooh.
And we are bringing in some of San Diego's best chefs, pastry chefs, and mixologists. And their challenge is to take something that they are currently throwing away in their kitchen and repurpose it into a bite-sized dish. Or into a drink or into a dessert.
And where is this being held?
This is going to be at Brick over at Liberty Station on August 23rd.
Wow.
So it's coming up in a few months.
Okay.
And what we're going to do is this is all to benefit Kitchens for Good.
And people get to taste those little bites?
People get to taste it and they get to vote on the winner.
Ooh.
So if you come to this event, you get to try everything and then you get to pick your favorite.
Ooh, I'm signing up.
Oh, yeah. And the best part is that this is all to benefit Kitchens for Good, which is one of my favorite nonprofits. What they do is a 12-week culinary training program for people who face barriers to employment. So formerly incarcerated, homeless, coming from abusive or addiction recovery, they teach them how to work in the restaurant industry and help place them into jobs.
Wow.
On top of which, they have a catering aspect, so you can hire them for events. And then they also take recovered food, whether it's from Waste Not or other food recovery programs, and they turn that into nutritious meals for food insecure people. And you can actually volunteer and go cook with them every Monday night.
What was that food?
Food insecure people.
And what does that mean?
That means if you're facing food insecurity, that you're not sure where your next meal is coming from.
Wow.
Yes.
What great terminology. Thank you.
Yeah, it's an incredible nonprofit. So we're partnering with them for this, and their students are going to be partnered with the competing chefs for the day of the event as well.
Wow.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Wow. Fantastic program. And so they can find you on...
You can find us. I mean, we're on social media at WasteNotSD.
Okay.
For the event website, you can go to wastedsd.com to buy your tickets.
All right. And that's on the WasteNot program. What was the website?
WastedSD is the event website.
Okay. Awesome.
And then WasteNotSD is our program website.
Okay. Program website. So wastenotsd.com.
Mm-hmm. And you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and we try to post some fun recipes on how to use your ugly produce.
Woo-hoo, woo. That's awesome. Well, thank you very much, Allie, for joining us today. It was amazing having you.
Oh, thank you. This was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us for another amazing episode of Conscious Living here at the Specialty Produce Network. For more information on how to support your lifestyle with the fastest growing resource for conscious families, visit our website at www.centerforconscious.com. That's www.centerforconscious.com. Join us again next week as we get a little bit more conscious and a little bit more centered. And we'll see you then. Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you.